Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. I'm sitting across the table from my beautiful wife, Debbie. Somebody was asking me last night at church. They said, I thought Wednesdays were the days that Debbie came into the studio. But we had football great Charles Mann yesterday, and today we have
the Debster.
Wife,
she's here.
Wife great.
Oh, yeah.
Debbie Shreve. Well, I wanted to read to you from Colossians chapter 1. This talks about the preeminence of Jesus Christ. It says, He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created. He is Creator God, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Now, Matthew 6:33, very well-known verse, says, Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things we tend to worry about, what shall we eat and what shall we drink and what shall we clothe ourselves with, all these things shall be added to you. Well, Debbie, you're doing a new study with the girls in the office for From His Heart Ministries, and
yes.
it's entitled Jesus Over Everything.
Yes.
And by Lisa Whittle.
Yes.
And it's kind of built on the fact that we seek Him first, and He is before all things, and we have to put all things that He might come to have first place in everything, that He's first in our lives.
Well, and we talked about the fact that it is so easy for other things to take preeminence over that. And so often that the taking over and coming before Christ, those things are subtle. So they happen a little here, a little here, a little here. And all of a sudden, we wake up and we think, man, why is my life such a mess? Why am I feeling anxiety? Why am I worried? Why am I all these other negative emotions? Why is my life feel so chaotic? And it's because we have taken over our lives. And us trying to rule and run our lives is just never going to work. It's never a good idea. God's way is the way that we need to go, and we need to allow Him to be the one that's leading us, ruling us, sovereign over us, controlling us, all of those things. And we just spent some time talking about the fact that, you know, just like I'm, and Mr. Bible here is going to know this, but about the man sitting at the pool of Bethesda, it's like, okay, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Mm-hmm. And so often we don't want to get well. We get caught up in our chaos, and the chaos becomes natural to us. And so having to yield control and laying things down, that's a hard thing for us to do. Mm-hmm. But we are not going to live the life that Jesus came, died, and rose again to provide for us if we don't allow Him to be preeminent in every area of our lives.
Yeah, so it goes on. I failed to read Colossians 1:18. He is also head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself might come to have first place in everything. So if you look at your life and think about your life, Jesus is to have first place in your business life, first place in your social life, first place in your marriage, first place in
leisure,
in your recreation, mm-hmm. and first place in everything. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's just another way of saying, make sure Jesus is first, that you're seeking Him first, that you're honoring Him, that you're trusting in Him, and that everything that you're doing would bring Him glory. If you're doing something that would dishonor Him, obviously you need to stop. So some of those just blatant sin areas, you need to stop. But one of the things that Lisa Whittle points out in her book, something I'd never thought about before, she talks about the overs, the deadly overs. We put other things over the Lord, and we don't think about certain things in our lives that she kind of pinpoints. And I thought those were interesting, Debbie.
Yeah, they really are. And they're things that sometimes we know that we're doing this. Other times we don't. And sometimes they're so subtle, and they have become just maybe patterns of thought, patterns of behavior that we have in our lives. And so we had some really, really good discussion. One of the gals in our office is leading the study on this book, and she did a fabulous job leading it. But she talked about the fact that one of the main reasons that we can't be first, because we often think that we can, and we can't be first because we make mistakes. We make wrong decisions. We give bad advice. We sometimes quit before we should. We hang on to something that we really need to let go of. And we can't save other people. That's why it's like we just absolutely can live under the delusion that we have all this control and all this power, and we don't, because we're going to make a lot of mistakes. And so she starts kind of going through these deadly do-overs or these deadly overs for, and one of the first ones that she talks about is overdoing. Mm-hmm. Do you think you struggle with that one, Jeff? Overdoing?
Define that.
Well, it's where you just go above and beyond all the time. You're always busy. You're never at rest. You are the one who is capable, so therefore you have got to take control over all these areas of your life, make sure every I is dotted, every T is crossed, not just for you, but for those in your immediate circle, and you're just doing and doing and doing and doing. And we have to come to the point where we start to recognize those things that really we've put on our plate, we've put on our schedule. God hasn't put those on our plate. Mm-hmm. We've put them on. And as a result, we run ourselves ragged. We get stressed out. We get exhausted. We get frustrated.
It's the Mary Martha thing.
Exactly.
Martha had too much. It's like, well, I never told you to do that.
Right.
I think for all of us, we have to step back and say, okay, am I doing what the Lord wants on my plate, or have I put that on there just because I have to save the day? You know, we've talked about that before, Debbie. People that have this savior complex that, you know, if I don't do it, it's never going to get done.
And or I'm so no valuable. One can do it as good as me.
Nobody does it better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I've said this a lot, especially to pastors. Every need is not a call. There are way more needs than you could possibly ever meet. So you have to be judicious in how does the Lord want me to spend my time, and because I can spread myself so thin that I'm not going to be good for anybody. You know, I mean, if you're spinning 100 plates, you're going to start having things crash.
Yeah, and I think too, especially for moms. I see this so much with moms, especially young moms in our culture today, because there's so much pressure put on you to be this perfect mom, to run the perfect household, to always look completely put together, for all of your children to be well-dressed all the time, to be well-behaved, to excel in school, to excel in sports, and all this pressure is put on you in this comparison game and this social media snapshots that we see. And as a result, moms have a real propensity to get sucked in to overdoing, overcommitting, and life can absolutely, your home can become chaotic when you try to do that, because you're just pulled in so many different directions. And I think to recognize that, and to not just recognize that that's happening, but to be able to lay down some of those things that are on your plate that really don't have any business being on your plate. You, by your own choices, have made your life so complicated and so complex. And to really ask the Lord to reveal those things to you.
Right. Well, those can be good things. We can
right.
do a lot of good things, but you have to choose. You know, the good is the, what's this phrase? Good's the rival of best, or something mm-hmm. like that. And so you have to have the best things. How has God wired me? Especially as you get older, you have to start saying, okay, mm-hmm. what am I really gifted and called to do? I need to invest in those things, and not dilute myself with so many other things that other people could do.
That's right. You know, last year, Chris Schroeder, who is my immediate supervisor at the church, he had all of us under his supervision. We had to come up with a phrase or a word that was going to kind of be our theme for the year. And last year's theme for me was good, better, best. And so I wanted to make sure in everything that I did with women's ministry, as well as just in my own personal life, is that even if it was a good thing, if it wasn't the best thing, I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to spend my time focused on that. And so as a result of that, I shifted some things around. I gave over some responsibilities to someone else that was their best thing. Mm-hmm. I did away with some activities that were just good. They weren't better and they weren't best. They weren't bad. It's just that they weren't the best use of time, energy, resources, that kind of thing. And it was a very freeing thing to use that as my guide in everything that I did. Okay, this, even though this may be a good thing, is this the best thing? Right. Is this the best use of my time?
So overdoing, and it's important too that we remember you have to have margins in your life. If you run everything to the very top, you know, it's kind of like your engine in your car. If you're running it in the red zone, it's just a matter of time before something blows. You have to have some downtime. You have to have rest. I mean, why did the Lord make this Sabbath day for us? It's a Sabbath day of rest because we need 1 in 7 days. You need to slow down. You need to rest. You need to cool your jets. You need to recharge. That's very important.
Yeah, and that can be, based on your personality type, that can be really hard for some people to do. They feel less than if they're just relaxing.
Well, if you get your self-worth from what you do.
Right.
We had Jacob Bain taught our Man Up. We have a group every Thursday. We meet for a bunch of guys, Man Up. Everybody's invited. Have a good lunch and then have a Bible study from 12 to 1. But he talked about the fact that we're called human beings, not human doings. And some people think that I have to do. And if I don't do, I don't have any worth.
Right.
You know, the word from the Father to the Son, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He said that to him at the beginning of his ministry. Jesus hadn't done anything yet.
Right.
Ministerially speaking. But the Lord was pleased with him. I love him, and I'm pleased with him. And, you know, as Christians, the Lord loves us, and he's pleased with us because we're in Jesus, and he doesn't love us more if we do more for him. You know, boy, I'll love you more if you pray, you know, 15 more minutes, if you witness to 3 more people, if you do this, do that, read your Bible more, if you read through the Bible not once in a year, but twice in a year, and it's just more and more and more, and you get on the performance treadmill, and that's a terrible way to live.
Well, it's exhausting, and it's absolutely counter to what the Lord has for us to do. Our goal in life and our mission in life is to bring honor and glory to Jesus. And how can we do that if we're exhausted, if we're short-tempered, if we're frustrated, if we're running on empty? How can we go about doing our main job, the very best job? And so there is a real pull in most of us to get sucked into this idea of overdoing and overdoing and overdoing. Well, that was the first one, and yeah. We have a couple more we're going to be talking about.
That was overdoing, and then we have, when we come back from the break, over-apologizing, and then over-explaining, and then over-analyzing, over-indulging, over-working, and then it's over. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie. And we are talking about Jesus Over Everything, which is a book by Lisa Whittle. And it has some great stuff in there of, you know, just testing yourself. Is Jesus, am I really seeking him first? Is he really, does he really have first place in every area of my life? Listen, that's a daily battle for us to yield and yield and yield and just say, Lord, I want you to be over all. Well, we're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. And maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. See what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
That's what the armor of the believer is meant to do for us. It's meant to equip us and encourage us and strengthen us, not to let life happen to us, but to take the initiative and go forward to do battle for Christ.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, Spiritual Warfare, Armor of the Believer, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
The Word of God tells us many times in one form or another, fear not. Many people are very fearful about some of the many perils and dangerous happenings that are going on in the world. Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2 tell us, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust." I'm Joseph Parker, and we here at the American Family Association would like to remind you, fear not, put your trust in the Lord. We'd like to both encourage and challenge you to aggressively put your faith to work. And one way to do that is to pray Psalm 91 daily for yourself and your family, and keep your trust in Him. If you'd like to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer for yourself, email us here at psalm91@afa.net. Again, that's psalm91@afa.net.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, along with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about Jesus over everything. It's a new book by Lisa Whittle, and our staff at From His Heart Ministries are going through this book chapter by chapter. And we're talking about the what she calls the deadly overs. You know, we like to think that, Jesus is first in my life, and I'm seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. And as Colossians 1:18 says, He is also head of the body of the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself might come to have first place in everything, in every part of our lives, that He would be first, that He would be honored and glorified, and we would seek Him first. And so we were talking about the deadly overs. The first one was overdoing. That's the Mary Martha syndrome. Martha is worried and bothered about so many things. Mary is seated at His feet, listening to His word. She's at peace. She's blessed. And Martha is stressed. Hey, if you're doing too much, if you're overdoing, if you're trying to save the world rather than just be obedient to the Lord, you're going to have trouble, and you're going to succumb to the deadly overs. That was the first one. The second one is one that I hadn't thought about before, but that is over-apologizing.
And we all know people like that.
Yeah, it's just kind of crazy. So Lisa Whittle, the author, she said that somebody told her, you apologize all the time. Do you realize this? You're always apologizing for your ministry. And it took her by surprise, and she was kind of,
taken aback.
Yeah, well, she was kind of like, ow, I mean, why do you say that? I don't do that. And she said, yes, you do.
Yeah.
And then Lisa had to say she was right. You know, the lady was right. As much as she didn't want to admit it, she did over-apologize. So, Debbie, what does that mean? Why do people do that? What does that look like?
Well, I think if we go back scripturally, we see so often in the New Testament Jesus giving parables about people who had different levels of giftings. We have the person with one talent, the person with five talents, the person with 10 talents. And I think so often that if you're a person that's a five-talent person, a 10-talent person, that God has gifted you in a lot of different ways, you can feel the need to kind of apologize for that, especially to someone who maybe isn't a five-talent person. And you can see that a lot as you're dealing with people in ministry, because jealousy always comes, rears its ugly head. If someone is seen, is viewed as being very successful, and the other individual longs to be that successful, but yet God just hasn't opened that door for them. Mm-hmm. The more successful person can just feel like the need that they need to apologize for that constantly. Well, you know, I'm so sorry that God hasn't opened that door for you. And you know, I don't know why he's opened it for me. And, you know, I'm nobody. I'm just humbled that this has happened. I mean, just all of that kind of verbiage. And we can steal away the joy of walking in the giftings that God has given us when we do that.
Yeah. Well, there's a term, I don't know who came up with it. I think I first saw it from Phil Cook. Phil Cook has been on this program before, but he talks about the humble brag and people on social media. Man, we had 10 saved this Sunday at church. Can you believe God would use somebody like me to do some great thing? Anyway, it's kind of like, yeah, you're giving God glory, but you're putting yourself in there. And he calls it the humble brag. And we have to be careful of that, because you got to check your heart. Why are you posting this? Are you posting this for the Lord's glory or for your glory? And if, you know, we over apologize, you know, I'm just nothing. I can't do anything right. You know, it's too much me, 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 me.
Right. Well, and I think, too, it can be driven by a need for acceptance, a need for friendship, a need to be liked. And there was one quote that she had in the book that I thought was so good, and she was talking about the fact that, you know, the issue that you had talked about earlier, about the fact that someone had really, you know, pinpointed to her, hey, you're over-apologizing. She says this: in one aspect, I apologize to someone I highly respect because I believe if I apologize for things they are irrationally upset about, they will approve or like me. And when you think about that irrationally upset, normally jealousy, envy, that's coming into that irrational thought pattern for a person. In other ways, I have been silently and verbally apologizing for my gifts, and it has made me at times regret my calling because I don't feel accepted. And I think to some extent we can all struggle with that. And you know, there are situations and things that come up in life that absolutely we need to apologize for, when we've when we've transgressed, when we have offended someone, when we've hurt someone, when we've stepped out of line, so to speak. We do need to apologize. But when it comes to the giftings that God has placed in us, the doors that he has opened for us in terms of successes and things like that, those are not things that we need to apologize for. Because when we do, we diminish God's gift to us.
That's right. I remember Ada Ferguson, our counselor from years past, who's with the Lord now, she said to me once, she said, you know, don't apologize for things. If somebody's mad at you for something that you didn't do, don't say, I'm sorry. Say, I regret you that you feel that way.
Right.
You're not sorry. You didn't do anything wrong. So I've never forgotten that, because if somebody's upset about this, that, or the other, you don't need to apologize for that. Mm-hmm. Well, I regret that you feel that way. It must be really crummy to feel like that. One of the things that she says, and I think this is so true, pride had fooled me into thinking my false humility was actually the real thing. You know, we have some people that brag on themselves all the time. We say, good night, what a braggart. And then we have people that always dismiss themselves. They mm-hmm. always, I can't do this. I'm no good at that. That kind of poor me kind of person. Both of those are a form of pride. Mm-hmm. One is obvious pride. One is inverted pride. Here's the thing, because it's still all about you. Romans 12:3, for through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. We're not to consider ourselves more highly than we should. We're not to consider ourselves more lowly than we should. A true humble person just doesn't think about himself. Life isn't about me. Life is about the Lord. Life is about serving other people. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So I just did a funeral for Joanne Upton. And during the funeral, as they were eulogizing her, and before I got up to do the message, it just dawned on me, what made this lady so great? Life wasn't about her. Mm-hmm. It was always about other people. She didn't think about herself. And even when she was hurting with cancer,
right.
She didn't dwell on, oh, I'm in such pain and it's poor me. Mm-hmm. She never did that.
No.
And that's what made people want to be around her. And that's what made her such a great witness, mm-hmm. because it wasn't about her. It was all about Jesus. So over-apologizing, that's a deadly over. How about this one, Debbie? Over-explaining.
Oh, that's a huge one. And I see that a lot with people, particularly when you're in ministry and you're asking someone to maybe volunteer, help out in a project or whatever, and they will say that they can't, and then they just keep explaining and explaining and explaining why they can't. Uh-huh. You know, and I love this this one quote that she says, it's okay to say no without giving all the reasons. No is a complete sentence. And I think some people, just based on your God-given temperament and in the need to please other people being so great in your life, you have a really hard time saying no. Mm-hmm. And so if you do have to say no, there's this guilt that overwhelms you that you're letting someone down, you're disappointing somebody, mm-hmm. whatever it may be. But the reality is, if God hasn't led you to do that and you go ahead and do it, you're stealing from someone that God does want them to do it. And so
right.
it's important that you listen to that, and you don't have to just keep explaining. I have found when I'm dealing with people, and even with myself, the more you talk, the guiltier you seem and the lamer your reason for saying no sounds, yeah. right? So if you just, keep it short and simple and just say, no, I'm not going to be able to do that, but thank you so much for considering me. That's all you need to say.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that have trouble saying no. Pastors can have trouble saying no. I always encourage pastors, listen, you need to put on your calendar, schedule family time, schedule time, just you and your wife. And when someone asks you, hey, can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? You just say, no, I'm already booked. I'm sorry. I already have something there. And what you have there is your family mm-hmm. and family time. And so you don't have to feel guilty about that.
Right.
We had a situation some time ago where a person asked me, can you help with the funeral? And it was when my grandkids were coming in town. I was like, no, I can't. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but I'm just not going to be able to do that,
right.
and I have other things going on. And so I didn't feel guilty about that.
Right, and I think those a lot of the over-explaining comes from the fact that we want to kind of control the narrative. We want to control what other people are going to think of us in this situation if we say no and maybe disappoint them, or we're going to let them down or whatever. We just want to make sure that people still think highly of us. And so we just keep explaining and keep explaining so that they can say, you're right. I understand. That's a wise decision, you saying no.
Yeah, and they may not like it when we say no, but that's fine.
Right.
Because it's just like the bottom line. I tell people this all the time. I tell myself this all the time. The bottom line in any decision is, what does the Lord want you to do? Now, we have to seek the Lord to find that out. You know,
right.
It would be great if we have two decisions, well, between this or that, door number one or door number two. Lord, which one do you want me to do? And he would immediately say, go to door number one. God doesn't do it like that. We have to seek him. We have to call upon his name. He does guide us with his peace. So if you're getting ready to make a decision, this job or that job, stay or go, whatever it might be, if there's a tremendous lack of peace, just know that that's not what God wants you to do. You can have some you know, little bit of doubts and cold feet, that kind of thing. But if there's just this tremendous, I'm getting ready to make a terrible decision, you need to back up and say, that's not what the Lord wants.
Well, I think too, oftentimes, you know, in relationships, particularly in family relationships, we have to set boundaries up. And that means tough love. It means saying no to a family member. And what I have seen is the person that requires a boundary, like this person is just overstepping constantly, mm-hmm. and I'm having to put a boundary in place around this relationship, that person doesn't like boundaries. They're very frustrated with the boundary. And that's why you can explain and explain and explain. It's not going to make a dent. You know, so that's why your best course of action is just to say, no, I'm not going to allow you to do this. No, I'm not going to be able to attend this event. No, you're not going to be able to call me 12 times a day. I'm not going to answer, whatever it may be,
right.
But not continue to just grovel and grovel and offer and offer and offer explanation.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking again about Ada, because people would come up to her. She was our counselor before Kristen Rochelle. People would come up to her at church and want to kind of, you know, pigeonhole her and then just pour out all their things. And she would say very sweetly, you know, Ada was a sweet person, but she'd say, you know, I would love to talk to you about this, but now is not the time for me to do that. So you need to call my office and schedule an appointment and we can do that. And she would be nice, but firm.
Boundary.
She was good at doing that. And some of us feel like, well, that's just, you know, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus, he had things he needed to do. And so he would leave one city and go to another city, one village and go to another village. And it's like, well, there are still people here. Yeah, but I have to move on and share with this other village. So that is a big one. What did we call it? Over-explaining.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, how about this one, Debbie? Over-analyzing.
Yes, analysis paralysis.
Thinking too much can lead us down dark roads. Some people, you know, you confess your sin to the Lord, but you don't cut yourself up in little pieces and analyze every thought, every action, every, you know, just because a thought comes through your mind doesn't mean that you're dwelling on that.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther used to say, you know, I can't keep the birds from flying over my head, but I can keep them from making a nest in my hair. They couldn't do it in my hair, but
your scalp.
Yeah, the idea that I had this thought that came through my mind, and I got to confess that to the Lord, and we can just get paralyzed by the fact that every waking second we're sinning, and I got to confess. Mm-hmm. That's not how you live the Christian life. You don't overanalyze. You keep your heart open to the Lord. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That prayer in Psalm 139, that is good, but don't morbidly obsess over every situation in your life. And overanalyzing just kind of, I mean, the chariot breaks down at that point.
Well, and it can cause such anxiety. It can just cause such anxiety. It can cause social withdrawal, where you're so self-absorbed in your own mind and thoughts that you are not willing to get out and interact with other people, and it just becomes very narcissistic.
Yes. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with Debbie. We're talking about the deadly overs. Jesus needs to be over everything in your life and my life. And we've been talking about some of these deadly overs, like overanalyzing, overexplaining, and overdoing. And so we have a couple more to go, but we're going to open the phone lines in this next segment. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment. Give us a call and let's talk. Overindulging and overworking are two more that we're going to talk about when we come back from the break.
Transgenderism, critical race theory, and evolution. Is your child or grandchild ready to face these and other issues on campus? Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson with Probe Ministries and Point of View. You know, many Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why we have the Mind Games Camp this year, June 16 to 22nd, a week of presentations, role play, as well as fun at camp. Sign up today at probe.org and help them meet these challenges to their faith.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit AFA.net and click on Streaming.
Did you know the abortion pill accounts for over 50% of all abortions? Preborn Ministry continues to stand with women in crisis in their darkest hour and bring hope and life. After Marissa took the abortion pill, she immediately regretted it, but Preborn was there for her.
Look at that baby. Look how beautiful he is. Look at that. Abortion pill reversal actually works. Let's hear his heartbeat. Oh, look how strong it is. Oh, praise God.
By God's amazing grace, this baby was saved, but many more need our help. To learn how you can be a part of rescuing babies' lives and sharing the heart of Jesus, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com, or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby.
I'm Peter Rosenberger, and this is your Caregiver Minute. Most caregivers regularly take someone else to see a physician, but when was the last time we saw our physician? We often grow so weary of taking others to a doctor's office that the thought of going to another one or taking time off of work again, well, it's just too much. Caregiving can be daunting and relentless. Those challenges sap the desire to fix a healthy meal, much less schedule time to go to yet another doctor visit. Yet that visit can very well save a caregiver's life. Caregiving can often feel like a full contact sport, and it's hard on the body as well as the heart. Make the call. Keep the appointment for yourself as a caregiver. Doing so ensures treatment of the one body standing between your vulnerable loved one and even worse disaster, and that's yours.
This has been your Caregiver Minute with Peter Rosenberger, brought to you by Standing with Hope, a ministry for the wounded and those who care for them. There's more information at standingwithhope.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, along with Debbie. We're talking about Jesus over everything, that he might come to have first place in everything, and that we would indeed seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, knowing that all these things that we worry about, will be added to us. And we've been talking about, from Lisa Whittle's book, Jesus Over Everything, the deadly overs. And we've been saying, you know, we need to search our hearts to see if we are overdoing. If we're more like Martha, and we need to be more like Mary. If we're over apologizing, that can reveal a pride there. If we're over explaining, if we're over analyzing things, that can just keep us in the quagmire. We just can't make progress if we're over analyzing our lives rather than just. Let all who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let those who love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be glorified. I think about that verse a lot in the book of Psalms, because it's like, Lord, I'm seeking you, and you've told me to rejoice and be glad in you. And this is the day that you have made, and I'm going to do just that, rejoice and be glad in it. And so The phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, we have two more overs, Debbie. And so the next one on the list is overindulging.
Ouch.
So
Owie.
Why do you say ouch to that?
Well,
one?
I think in our culture today, it's so common that most of us don't even see that it's a big problem. Right. So we were discussing this around the conference table in our office, we just were kind of naming things that are just so common that people overindulge in. Like we overindulge in food. We overindulge in shopping. We overindulge in our leisure time. We overindulge in social media where we are on our screens so much of the time. We overindulge in watching television. We overindulge in drinking. We just everything. Aspect of life in our current culture, it seems that the common denominator is that we overindulge in it, and we're just not good at self-regulating, at disciplining ourselves, at having intentionality with that. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things when they're in the right priority system in our lives. I mean, we have to eat to live, but it's when we overeat that it becomes a problem. We have to shop. We can't just think everything's going to come to us. We have to have clothes to wear. We have to have food to cook, all of those things. But it's the idea that we can just never have enough of that. We can never have enough of that. And so we just keep looking, and we're looking to those things to bring us satisfaction, to bring us peace, to bring us comfort, to bring us value, to bring us worth. And all of those things that I just listed, those are things that the Lord wants to provide for us. If we're going to overindulge in anything, we need to be overindulging in time in His Word. We need to be overindulging in prayer. We need to be overindulging in building that relationship with Him.
Well, I think a lot of us, you know, we go to those things that seem to give us some comfort. So we have the expression comfort food.
Right.
And so I've talked to people before that, you know, get themselves in a mess physically, and they say, well, you know, that just it makes me feel good. And food is pleasurable. It's, you know, it tastes good. But you hit the nail on the head with discipline. Discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. Everything in life kind of goes back down to discipline. You have to be disciplined in your Christian life. You have to be disciplined to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. You have to be disciplined to get up early so that you can have time to seek the Lord, and you're not just, you know, I have no margin. I have, you know, 30 seconds to do this and do that and do the other because I got to get out the door. It goes back to margins and discipline to build in margins in your life. Well, the last one is overworking. And similar to overdoing, but this is, I'm assuming this is just the workaholic person.
Right. Well, that gets their sense of self, their sense of purpose from their job. And, you know, if things are chaotic at home, okay, well, I'm going to avoid home. I'm going to focus in on work where I can have more control there. I can get a lot of pats on the back there. And I think based on your God-given temperament, some people struggle with this more than anything. But she has a quote in here that says, hey, work is precious and it's a good thing, but so often we abuse it. And when it becomes about you trying to earn your worth through your work, you know that it's gone too far.
Right. Yeah. So you don't get your self-worth by what you do. You get your self-worth by what the Lord says about you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the statements, who am I in Christ? All the different things that the Lord says. Ephesians has a lot of who we are in Christ. And you get your value, your worth from that. And not from the fact that, well, I lead this company, or I salesman of the year, or teacher of the year, or whatever, you know.
Or this place will completely fall apart if I'm not here.
Yeah, it won't.
And the bottom line is, nothing could be further from the truth. You can drop dead and they will replace you.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think about Isaiah 6, as Isaiah said, in the year of King Uzziah's death, he was king for 52 years, and he was a good king. He says, in that year, I saw the Lord. And Uzziah was dead, But God is the King, and God, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And so we get our worth from Him, not from these other things, and we get our security from Him, not from these other things.
Well, and God wants us to use our place of employment as an area to witness for Him, to be a witness for Him. And, you know, it goes back into the garden where, hey, you know, God cursed the ground and Adam had to work. Things didn't just happen anymore. He was having to toil the ground and reap and to sow and to do all these other things. And we have to do that too, because we have to live. So it goes back to the whole idea of balance and making sure that you keep that in balance, because the opposite of that is if you are just a slug and don't ever want to work, and you're capable of working. There are some people who are not capable of working. They have disabilities, whatever. But if you are capable of working and you are choosing not to work, that's a whole different issue. You know, the Bible talks clearly about that, too.
And yeah. The Lord values hard work.
That's
six
right.
days you shall labor, but the seventh you shall rest. And so if we think about it in those terms, we like to say, well, I work 5 days and I rest two. The biblical pattern is 6 days you labor and the seventh day is a day of rest. So overworking, we just have to watch that. And I think being a workaholic is one of those aholic things. You know, alcoholic is bad. Some other kind of sexaholic or a
foodaholic.
Yeah, those are bad. A workaholic, we say, oh, how industrious, how, you know, how responsible, and we kind of put that on a high level. But if we're working when we should be praying, when we should be attending an event with our kids or, you know, witnessing or being at church or whatever, I'm always work. We got to step back and say, okay, Lord, am I doing what you want me to be doing? And it goes back to all those things on your plate. Mm-hmm. What has God put there and what have you put there? You got to take out what you put there and make sure that what's on your plate is what God has called you to do. Well, we're going to the phone lines, and we have Aaron on the line from Illinois. Aaron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. Thank you.
Yes, good morning.
One thing you just mentioned that reminds me is in Proverbs chapter 20. Mm-hmm. We can start out, wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. A king's wrath is like the roar of a lion. He who angers him forfeits his life. It is to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool to quick to quarrel. A sluggard, which is what Debbie just probably was talking about, a sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing. Mm-hmm. And in my time now, since June of last year that I discovered American Family Radio at WAPO here in Mount Vernon, Illinois, you know, I've had things happen to me in my life. Yes, I'm an alcoholic, and I'm struggling daily. Mm-hmm. My parents got divorced on me. I've never been married, but I've, you know, dated all my life. I've got 2 degrees in agriculture. I'm a medical technologist. I worked as a blood banker. I worked in blood bank. And one of the things that came across to me in my studies back in the day was, what's Jesus's blood type? You know, is he the O negative? Is he the universal donor blood type? You know, I was always kind of curious about those things. But in the meantime, over the years, one day I went over to my neighbor, and she told me something had happened to her, and I said, I'm sorry. And she said, why are you apologizing? You don't need to apologize for that. And I'm like, think to myself, you know what? She's right. And so over the years, I have found myself pausing and not to just, oh, I'm so sorry. Or because, you know, a lot of these people are saying this, like, Joe Biden, apologizing for all this stuff, you know? I mean, it don't mean much. Unless you did something to someone, then yes, right, you need to apologize for it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It just seems like it's just gotten to a point where it's just too much and it don't mean anything anymore.
Right.
And what I think means more is if you just be there for that person and basically give them a hug. What? Mm-hmm. Just give them a hug. Give right. permission. Say, can I give you a hug? That yeah. in itself, just that hug means more than what works. Actions speak louder than words.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's very good, Aaron. You know, that's called the ministry of presence. When you're with somebody that's really hurting, I think it's fine to say, oh, I'm so sorry you're going through this. That's not like you're apologizing. You're just commiserating with them. You know, being there for them and, you know, Job's friends ministered to him more when they never talked, when they just sat with him. They saw his pain was very great. They sat with him without saying a word for 7 days. Job chapter 2, the last verse in Job 2 tells us. And so that can make a huge difference. So I appreciate you calling, Aaron, and we will pray for you as you battle. We encourage you to find a group like a Celebrate Recovery group that can help you and that can surround you with like-minded people that are seeking the Lord and that are, you know, we all struggle with things, but we want to be those who struggle well, not who struggle poorly. And we definitely don't want to be somebody who just gives in and says, okay, this is too big a battle. I just give in. I throw the white flag of surrender. So don't ever do that. Keep fighting. I talked Sunday, Debbie, about iron chariots and mm-hmm. how the Israelites were supposed to take the land in the book of Judges. But they were doing well until they came up against the Canaanites who had iron chariots. And they said, oh, we can't beat them. They have iron chariots. And there are sins that we're going to run into that are iron chariot sins. And we just continue to fight. And hey, we might lose some battles here and there, but we know that we win the war because the Lord is with us. And he tells us, hey, don't quit. You get back in the battle. Keep trusting me. And as we do that, we will see progress and we will see the Lord be victorious in us and through us. Well, thank you for calling. Okay, Debbie, one last over. And this was by Mark O's, who had mentioned overstepping.
Yeah, he had an addendum to the book.
Yeah, he did. I appreciated that, our engineer Mark O's. Overstepping. And some people do that. You talked about overstepping somebody's bounds, and we need to know where the boundaries are.
I think overstepping can be very, very easy to do, particularly with adult children. So as the parent of adult children, you are no longer a manager in their life, you're a consultant in their life. And what I have found personally is that a consultant only gets paid and rewarded when they're asked to call to come in and consult. And yeah. If they just come in and impose their consulting on someone, they're normally not going to get a wage from that. And so I think with adult children, it can be very easy to overstep, and we have to really guard against that.
Yeah, we don't want to overstep, and you gotta look for green lights, and if there's not a green light, don't say anything. Well, Chris in Ohio, I'm sorry we don't have time, but I wanted to give you the title of the book. It's called Jesus Over Everything by Lisa Whittle, Uncomplicating the Daily Struggle to Put Jesus First. And I guess you can go on Amazon mm-hmm. and get that. Well, thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with Debbie. And you can listen to any of these programs on our podcast, afr.net. If you have a question or a comment, feel free to email me, pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org, fromhisheart.org. I'd love to help you any way I can. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.